الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الشعبان بين رجب وشهر رمضان تغفل الناس عنه، ترفأ فيها أعمال العباد، فأحب أن لا يرفع عملي إلا وأنا صائم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Sha'ban is the month that we are currently in. And Sha'ban is the month that precedes the month of Ramadan. And Sha'ban is amongst the most meritorious of the months of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast abundantly in the month of Sha'ban. These fasts obviously were not obligatory in any way. But Sha'ban is the month immediately preceding the month of Ramadan, and therefore some preparatory measures are suggested by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this he reflected in his very own practice, which we as Muslims are encouraged to emulate. Some of the recommendations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding preparation for the month of Ramadan in this particular month of Sha'ban is that firstly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would declare that afdalu sawm ba'da Ramadan Sha'ban li ta'zim Ramadan, that the fasts which are most meritorious, which are most beneficial after the fasts of Ramadan, are the fasts in the month of Sha'ban. So in no other month is fasting as virtuous and as beneficial for the believer after Ramadan as it is in this particular month, the month of Sha'ban preceding Ramadan. And this is لِتَعْظِيمِ Ramadan. One of the significance of the fast is not just preparation, but also out of honor and reverence and in anticipation for the month of Ramadan. The blessed Sahabi Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Messenger of Allah, I have seen you fasting in the month of Sha'ban so frequently as I have not seen you fasting in any other month. Upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that Sha'ban is a month between Rajab and Ramadan. And Sha'ban is a month that is generally neglected by people. It is a month in which the account of deeds of human beings is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe. And as a consequence, I wish that my deeds be presented at the time while I'm in a state of fasting. Aisha radiallahu anha says that my beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast for most of the month of Sha'ban. Once Aisha said, I said to him, O Messenger of Allah, is Sha'ban your most favorite month, considering that I see you fasting and exerting yourself in devotion more than in any other month? Upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Aisha, in this month Allah prescribes the list of people dying this year. Therefore I like that my death comes when I'm in a state of fasting. There's another hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be found fasting more often in this month than in any other month. Now these are hadith, and there are many more, and we won't necessarily go through each and every one of them, extolling and emphasizing the virtue of the month of Sha'ban. But what they do indicate is that although Sha'ban at no point has ever been declared as an obligatory month of fasting, but it's so meritorious and there's so many fada'il, there's so many virtues, that the Prophet of Allah himself would never like to miss it and would always encourage his Sahaba to exert themselves in acts of virtue, particularly in fasting in this month. Now, It must obviously be borne in mind as well that the fast of Sha'ban are for those people who are capable of keeping them without causing any deficiency in their fara'id, in the obligatory fast of Ramadan. Because it may happen that a person who fasts excessively in this month because of his lack of discipline through the year and him not being as used to fasting, if such a person fears that he loses strength or that freshness for the fast of Ramadan, and he will not be able to fast in it with this continued vigor and enthusiasm, that he should not fast as many fasts. Maybe one or two or three or a few to fulfill the sunnah, but not excessively as is generally encouraged. And this is simply because the month of Ramadan and the fasting of Ramadan are fard, they're compulsory. And at no point should the nawafil, should the voluntary fast, like the fast of Ramadan, undermine or compromise the fara'id and the vigor with which we pursue observance of the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged some Muslims from fasting on the days immediately before the commencement of Ramadan. There's a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that do not fast excessively after the first half of the month of Sha'ban. So we're still in the first half of the month of Sha'ban. We should fast excessively. The best is every second day, the Sawm of Dawood alayhi salam, who would fast consecutive days. But after the middle of the month, after the 15th of Sha'ban, we should reduce them somewhat. There's another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقدموا شهر رمضان بصيام قبله بيوم أو يومين. That do not precede the month of fasting, the month of Ramadan, with one or two fasts. In other words, the day or two before Ramadan. إلا أن يكون رجلا كان يصوم صوما فليصوم. Unless it's a person who habitually fasts, then he should continue, because this would not diminish his enthusiasm and vigor in the beginning of the month of Ramadan. But so as to guard the sanctity of Ramadan and enthusiasm, we shouldn't fast necessarily the first few days, at least the few days preceding the month of Ramadan. Now the essence of all these ahadith is that there should be no weakness or weariness before the commencement of Ramadan. Because as Muslims know, this is the spring season of Islam. This is the time of the blossoming of virtuosity and piety. And we need to take full advantage of the month of Ramadan when it comes. And we experience it, we feel it. As the month of Ramadan comes, the atmosphere changes immediately. The special fuyud and barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends immediately. Now there's an interesting little medical fact that's relevant to the preparatory fasts of Sha'ban, these ones that we are encouraged to engage in before the month of Ramadan. We know the virtues. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that we do it in preparation for Ramadan. We know that this is a means of exalting the prestige and the honor with which a person, a Muslim, approaches the month of Ramadan. But what's interesting from a medical perspective regarding preparatory fast is that in the first days of fasting, what happens is that the human body begins to consume its stores or its reserves of fats and proteins and all the other nutrients in order to compensate for the shortage that results from reduced food intake on the day and the days that succeed the initial fasts. And as a result, what happens is that the latent toxins and those volatile hormones begin to saturate the blood flow in the first day or two or three after we've commenced fasting. And this is one of the reasons why the person who's fasting, particularly the first few days, feels symptoms like headaches, symptoms like fatigue, and even aggression and a bad temper, is because these volatile hormones saturate the blood flow before the body eventually expels them after a few days of fasting, which is actually part of the virtue of fasting. It cleanses the body. It's a detoxification of the body. But before that really happens, these toxins become manifest. And as a consequence, like I said, there's this expression of aggression, there's this bad temper, and in extreme cases, a person may even become abusive towards others, and sometimes he's obliged to break his fast. So this is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged fasting before the month of Ramadan. Because after a few days of fasting, these symptoms disappear. When the toxins have adequately been purged from the body and the hormonal balance has been re-established in the bloodstream. So these months, at least these fastings, these siyam in the month of Sha'ban preceding Ramadan are recommended as a preparation for Ramadan so that a person can maintain his spiritual focus that is required to be observed in the month of Ramadan. And that's an interesting little medical fact regarding how fasting works. The first few days tend to be the more difficult ones. They tend to cause a person to lose his composure. But thereafter, as the toxins have been purged, he regains mental and spiritual composure. There's another important significance of the month of Sha'ban, this particular month before Ramadan. And that is, in this month, there is a night which is termed in Sharia as Laylatul Bara'a, or Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban. It is the night of freedom from the fire of hell. It's a night that occurs between the 14th and the 15th day of Sha'ban, which will be next week, early next week. Now it's a great, meritorious and virtuous night in which all of humanity, the believers, the mu'mineen, obviously, are attended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special divine mercy. There's a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَيَطَّعْلِهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ النِّسْ مِنَ الشَّعْبَانِ وَيَغْفِرُ لِلَّجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاهِدٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon all those created by him in the middle night of Sha'ban, and he forgives all of creation except the one who associates partners with him, the mushrik, and the one who has malice in his heart for other Muslims. These two people are excluded on this particular night in which Allah showers his mercy and his forgiveness upon humanity and overlooks all faults and all sins irrespective. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha is also reported to have said that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah in the night, in other words, the tahajjud salah during the night of Sha'ban, the 15th night of Sha'ban, and he made such a very long sajda until Aisha radiallahu anha says, I feared that he had passed away. And then Aisha radiallahu anha said that I rose from my bed and I moved his thumb to ascertain whether he is alive or not. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved his thumb, and so I returned to my place and I continued resting. Then she said, I heard the Prophet of Allah making dua to Allah. And the dua he made was, O Allah, I seek protection of your forgiveness from your punishment. And I seek protection in your pleasure from your anger. And I seek refuge in you from you. And I cannot praise you as you fully deserve to be praised. You are exactly as you yourself have praised yourself. Thereafter, Aisha radiallahu anha says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his head from the sajda and completed his salah, he turned to me and he said, Oh Aisha, did you think that I have betrayed you? In other words, I have left the bed and gone to visit another one of my wives, which is generally the case with women. They are jealous. Upon which Aisha radiallahu anha said, No, O Prophet of Allah, but I was afraid that your soul had been taken away because your sajda was so long. So there's a little encouragement towards our brothers taking a second wife, and also an encouragement towards our woman not being jealous. But nevertheless, Aisha radiallahu anha says, The Prophet then asked me, Do you know which night this is, O Aisha? Upon which Aisha radiallahu anha says that Allah and His Messenger know best. Upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the night of the half of Sha'ban. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks down upon His servants in this night and forgives all those who seek His forgiveness. And He bestows mercy upon all those who pray for His mercy, without exception. Except for that person who has malice, who has hatred in his heart for another Muslim, he leaves them as they were before. So this is a very important encouragement towards ibadah during the night, as per the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, waking up for tahajjud and making dua in sajda. But also, it is a warning against Those amongst us who bear malice and hatred in our hearts for other Muslims, irrespective as to how we may believe we can justify. More often than not, this malice and hatred comes as a consequence of arrogance and condescension. Sometimes there is a camouflage or veneer of piety by which we attempt to hide behind. But essentially it is a hatred as a consequence of a feeling of superiority or condescension towards another Muslim. There's another hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the middle night of Sha'ban, and Allah frees in it a large number of people from the fire, more than the number of hair growing on the sheep of the tribe of Kalb. The tribe of Kalb obviously was famous for having large herds of sheep, flocks of sheep. And you can imagine the numbers of fibers and hair on their bodies. And so many millions and billions of people are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. But then Rasulullah ﷺ said that Allah does not even look at mercy to a person who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mushrik. So if he is cast into hell, there is no emancipation for him on this special night. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at mercy at a person who nourishes malice in his heart against another Muslim. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at mercy with a person who cuts off ties of kinship. He doesn't maintain the ties of family. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at mercy at a man who is proud. And one expression of pride, particularly in the times of Jahiliyyah, was to have your trousers dragging beneath your ankles. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at a person who is disobedient to his parents, who brings pain and anguish and sorrow to his parents. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at mercy to a person who imbibes intoxicants, who drinks wine and who intoxicates himself, irrespective of the type of intoxicant, which includes also hashish, marijuana. I found some very strange young Muslims who somehow come to believe that that is excluded from the list of prohibitions. But nevertheless, this is a night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lavishes His mercy and generosity and forgiveness upon all who simply raise their hands to Him, except those few, amongst which we can see are those who have malice and hatred in their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows mercy to those who show mercy to others. It is a month in which we express compassion and forgiveness, and we overlook even the wrong done to us. And this is a sign of true nobility, where you are able to overlook the harm done to you. Now, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have continuously observed this night as a night of special merit. And throughout the history of Islam, from the time of the Sahaba till now, we find that Muslims throughout the world have spent their nights, particularly this particular night, the 15th of Sha'ban, in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should be done in this night? As regards the nisf, the half, the 15th of the night of Sha'ban, a person should firstly remain awake as much as he can. And preferably, if he remains awake, remain awake in the second half of the night. So sleep in the first half of the night, sleep early, and wake up in the second half of the night. And then perform any act of ibadah. And the acts of ibadah that are generally recommended on the 15th of Sha'ban, in fact, every other night in the month of Sha'ban, is firstly salah. And there's no particular number of raka'at, any number of raka'at, as a person may so choose. And each part of the salah, like the qiyam, the ruku', the sujood, should be longer than normal, as we see in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha regarding the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. Extend it. Do extra tasbihat and extra qira'ah in a person's salah. The second is tilawah. A person should recite as much of the Quran as he possibly can. Recite the Arabic first, and then inshallah recite some of the Quran in the language that you understand. Also, a person should do dhikr as much as he can. And along with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the normal masnoon adhkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah, and the like, la ilaha illallah, a person should increase his salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether he's lying, whether he's standing, whether he's walking, whether he's in his salah or outside his salah, the adhkar should be increased. So even if you're lying in your bed during that night, increase the adhkar and the salawat. Another thing a person should do, in fact, the most beneficial thing a person can do in this night is dua. الدُعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ Dua is the essence of ibadah, of worship. There's a hadith Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that خَمْسُ لَيَالٍ لَا تُرَدُّ فِيهِنَّ الدَّعْوَةِ That there are five nights in which the dua of a person is never rejected. The first of which is أَوَلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنَ الرَّجَبِ The first nights of the nights of Rajab. The second is نِسْبْ مِّنَ الشَّعْبَانِ The 15th night of Sha'ban. The third is Laylatul Jum'ah, the night of Jum'ah. In other words, the Thursday night before the day of Jum'ah. Get up, make dua, Allah accepts your dua. The next, Laylatul Fitr, the night before the Eidul Fitr. And the last, Laylatul Nahr, the night before the Eidul Adha. So amongst them you can see Sha'ban is the night in which the dua of people is accepted. We'll conclude inshallah. There's one more hadith in which Rasulullah SAW is also reported to have visited the graveyards. He would go to the Jannatul Baqi where he would pray for the Muslims buried there. This is mustahab. It's mustahab because Rasulullah SAW would frequent the graveyard. He would say, أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ That increase the remembrance of death. And the easiest way to increase the remembrance of death, which destroys all pleasures, is by visiting the graveyards. Because that is your ultimate abode. And on this particular night, it is reported in some ahadith that Rasulullah SAW would go. But this is mustahab. It is not emphasized. It is a good habit. Not just on this night, but every other night, if you can, visit the graveyard. One is to remember your own death. And this creates humility and also piety in the heart, quicker than in any other act of ibadah. And second, because it's a great blessing for the inmates of the grave. On the day immediately following the night of Bara'ah, the 15th of Sha'ban, it is mustahab, it is advisable for a person to fast, as it has been encouraged for a person to fast throughout the month of Sha'ban as much as he can. So there are some narrations in which the Sahaba as well and the Tabi'in and Tabut Tabi'in would observe a fast on the day of Sha'ban, but it is not an absolute necessity. But if a person does, alhamdulillah, it represents part of the fada'il of fasting in the month of Sha'ban, as a preparation for Ramadan. Anas bin Malik is once narrated to have said that the excellence of Rajab over other months is like the excellence of the Quran over all other speech. While the excellence of Sha'ban over other months is like the excellence of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the rest of all the Anbiya. And the excellence of the month of Ramadan over all the other months is like the excellence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all the creatures of Allah. And this was said to emphasize the significance of this month of Sha'ban, and we are encouraged to take full advantage of it. In another hadith, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, in fact it's from amongst the athar of the Sahaba, that when the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beheld the new moon of Sha'ban, when they entered into the month of Sha'ban, they would firstly immerse themselves in reciting the Quran in preparation for Ramadan. And then the Muslims would pay their zakah that has been assessed on their wealth. And in this way, they would provide the means for the weak and the poor to strengthen themselves in preparation for the fasting month of Ramadan. Many of us pay our zakah in Ramadan. It was the sunnah of the Sahaba to pay their zakah in the month of Sha'ban. So try and do it in this month. Then he said the governors, the rulers over the Islamic lands would summon the prison inmates. And they would carry out the sentences on those convicted of major offences under Sharia and then set free the rest of the inmates in the month of Sha'ban, before Ramadan. And the businessmen among the Sahaba would set about paying their debts and collecting their dues. And then when they beheld the new moon of the month of Ramadan, they would wash themselves as a sunnah, ghusl, and then devote themselves to ibadah through the month of Ramadan. So there are some good directives and prescriptives regarding what we should do in this month of Sha'ban, in preparation from Ramadan. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, rahmatullah alayh, has given a beautiful description, and we'll conclude with this one, regarding the relationship between Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan. He said that the month of Rajab is for abandoning repulsive deeds. Sha'ban is for good deeds and fulfilling trusts. And Ramadan is for truthfulness and purification. Rajab is the month of repentance to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sha'ban is the month of diligent service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is the month of gathering the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rajab is the month of worship of Allah. Sha'ban is the month of asceticism for the sake of Allah, withdrawing from the world. And Ramadan is the month of spiritual increase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rajab is the month in which Allah multiplies good deeds. Sha'ban is the month in which Allah accepts atonement for evil. And Ramadan is the month in which Allah advances noble miracles. Rajab is the month of the foremost. Sha'ban is the month of thrift. And Ramadan is the month of the disobedient. In other words, it's the means whereby we purge ourselves of our sin and of our wicked ways. Dhunnun Misri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, Rajab is for abandoning destructive things. Sha'ban is for performing abundant acts of obedience. And Ramadan is for the expectation of noble miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever does not abandon destructive things, does not perform acts of obedience, and does not expect noble miracles, then he is among the insincere, hypocritical pretenders to Iman. He is the filth of mankind. He then continued saying, and we'll conclude, Rajab is the month of planting the seeds. Sha'ban is the month of watering them. And Ramadan is the month of harvesting them. One can only harvest what has been planted, as one can only reap what is sown. Whoever forfeits the planting of seeds and tending to them, in other words, in Sha'ban, will regret when the day comes for harvesting. The month of Ramadan will be of little benefit to him. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.